What an honor it is to be tasked with this assignment. And the insight in the life of a preacher, pastor, you're always thinking about the next word. When I leave here today, I'm already focused on next week. And in the midst of that, it's really just trying to live the word. To stand and to read it is one thing, but to live it is the challenge of life. On this Pentecost Sunday, let's turn in our Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles. And there in the second chapter, we're going to read verses 37 through 41. Acts 2, 37 through 41. It reads as follows: when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Verse 40 says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Repentance, Death to Sin, Life to Obedience. All of us have uttered these words at one time or another: I'm sorry. They imply that we have done or said something wrong, something that we may be ashamed of or unhappy about. I'm sorry. Something we may have done to hurt someone else or to upset someone. I think of my father when we would say to him, "I'm sorry." He would come back kidding and say, "Yeah, I know you're sorry. Tell me something that I don't know." There's some truth in that statement. People may be surprised to hear you say, "I'm sorry," for something that you've done. Sorry is akin to repentance. Amen? And to repent is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. That's bigger than "I'm sorry." Sometimes we'll say "I'm sorry" and then in the next breath go right ahead and do what we've been doing before. Nobody here. In the text this morning, the people of Israel were faced with the issue of repentance. And let's summarize a bit there in Acts 1 and a portion of Acts 2. And the Acts is really just what it says. It's the Acts of the Apostles. It is what they did, the who, the what, the when, and the where of the early church. Jesus, of course, has already risen from the dead. He spends time with his disciples. You recall there on the Emmaus Road, they did not know who they were speaking with. In other words, Jesus hung out for a while longer. We want to put him back on the wings and say he's already gone. No, he hung around for a while teaching, and he healed. He continued to engage with his disciples. But he says, "Listen, I want to leave a promise with you." In other words, he wants them to catch this. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem." It's an order. Stay here. You know, sometimes we can get busy. Do not leave Jerusalem, because if you stay, something is going to happen. That while John baptized with water, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Some folk are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But don't you know it's the Holy Spirit that resides in the heart of the believer from the moment you say, yes, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit, the person of God, comes in and resides with you. Can I do a 1.5 Bible study? That there is the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Amen? And we'll talk about what he does in a bit. But this sense of knowing who he is, it's a promise. And so Peter is there celebrating. He begins to talk with them. And while they're in the upper room, in that room are the apostles, but also mother of Jesus, Mary, is in that group. Some of you who came in early could see the video. We went to the upper room there in Jerusalem, and there was some ghosts up in there. The fact that you were in that place, your mind began to think about what it must have been like on the day of Pentecost. And because there were so many people from so many countries, there were different tongues. And he began to preach. He began to share with them. And he begins to recap kind of what they had done to Jesus, not individually, but collectively. He begins to lay out what had happened, how they had rejected him. He begins to lay out and make his case on how they had abused him. But then he says, guess what? That what we can celebrate as believers, that yes, Jesus died, but he got up on the third day morning. Amen? And that's what makes our faith different from so many others. So many folk believe that he died, and that was it. Now, you don't believe that, do you? I pray to God, I'm not doing my job as a preacher. He got up. I believe he got up on the third day morning with all power in his hands. By the time Peter finishes this sermon, folk have heard the word, and they are saying to themselves, they are cut to the heart. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter says, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. So for there to be death to sin and life to obedience, there must also be conviction and conversion and continuation. Verse 37, when the people heard this, when they heard what? When they heard what Peter had preached, they became convicted. And they say, what are we going to do about what we've heard? This solicits action. And this sense of conviction means that you're guilty. I don't want to look at your rap sheet if you won't look at mine. But when you have been convicted, that means that you're about to do some time. Amen? How many folk been convicted and God get what? You don't have to tell me that. You made bail. You escaped. Thank God for the stuff that we should have all been locked up for. I know, but God is gracious. Isn't he gracious today? I don't need to know all your information, but my God, we were in some tough places with some tough people, and it could have gone the other way. I may as well testify. One night I was throwing rocks at the rec center. Me and my boys, we could have gone to jail. We were breaking the law, trespassing, doing, and your story may be different, but this sense of conviction. When they heard the truth, they were cut to the heart. And the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. I can talk about you. I can ride you back. I can point out your faults and not mine. But it's only when the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us. And that's what happened. John 16 and 8 says, and when he comes, that is Christ, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Conviction is not just having a guilty conscience or shame, but it is having true conviction. I heard it said that the Holy Spirit is like the prosecuting attorney. He's trying to win the case against you. He brings the evidence. You don't know Tim Tootin the way I know him. Let me take you back down. Let me show you the tape of where he grew up. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is there as our defense attorney, making the difference. Conviction. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been convicted of sin that nobody had to tell you, but the Holy Spirit began to work on you? Or you told them off now. You were big and bad, but as you were leaving that place, you felt something happening deep down inside of you that you knew was not right. You felt bad about it. You repented. God, forgive me. But at the time we said it, at the time we did it, but thank God that the Holy Spirit still convicts us. But there ought to be a time of conversion. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, everybody under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus Christ. And to convert is to change from a certain character or type or purpose to another. It happens when we trade in our old sin nature, and we do have an old sin nature. We all have an old sin nature, and we have to trade it in for a new sin nature. Amen? Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any person be in Christ, they are a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things become new. I don't know about you. I feel new today. Thank God that I traded the old Tim in for this new model. Blessed be the God today. But God wants to, he wants to convert us. The saints of old would ask the question, have you been converted? But the mothers ask, what do you mean converted? Have you changed? Has your life been transformed? That's a question worth asking. That you can't be in the world and continue to walk with the world. Folk ought to say there's something strange about you because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not being sedity, but God has done something in your life that ought to make you a bit different. Amen? Aren't you glad today that the Lord converts you with your mindset, the way you used to think, and the things you used to do, and the places you used to go? Oh, I'm just talking to myself this morning. I ain't getting no help today. But when he does that, you sense this conversion. That thank be to God for some of us it's taking longer. My God, we beat our heads up against the wall for a long time, but thank the Lord for our praying mother. And thank the Lord for a praying father. Say, you know what? I'm going to pray for that child. And here you are today, a recipient of somebody praying. Don't give up on your children. Just pray for them. Don't throw the towel in. Pray for them. Anybody prayed for a child and seen God turn the situation around? Blessed be the God today. Don't you stop. Real conversion means switching directions. It means avoiding the do not enter sign. I don't know about you. Ever been, you know you can't. It says do not enter. You seen the sign that says wrong way. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's giving each of us sign. We move from self-worship to God worship. To die to sin, repentance. And move to a life of obedience, conversion, conviction. But also, there has to be a continuation. Verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. It's not really about you, but there ought to be something that our children see in us to say, you know what? There's something about mama or daddy that has impacted me. I pretend I didn't hear it. They drug me to church every Sunday. They ride my back hard. But aren't you glad today that it continues? That the songs that mom and daddy used to sing, you didn't know what they meant until you got older. And now you know when they say, give me that old time religion. What does that mean? It's good enough for my dear mother. And so it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for my dear father. Well, my God, it's good enough for me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to have some old time religion. I'm glad to have the kind of religion that lets me know when I get off track. become a religion lets me know that God is still on the main line and to tell him what you want. Do I feel like preaching today? I sure do. And so we have a responsibility. Don't let this thing go out with your generation that the great grandma served him in it, but there's somewhere along the way who dropped the ball. My God, don't be the generation that drops the ball. And say to your children, I don't know. I'm not going to pray. No, you ain't got to pressure them, but live it. And they'll ask questions. Why are you praying all the time? And why are you reading your Bible all the time? And why are you giving God the praise all the time? They'll just see something in you. Don't let this thing die, but make it continue. You may not have any stocks and bonds. You may not have a big inheritance, but my God, you've got something that's going to take you through thick and thin. Stuff that's going to bring you through situations in life. It's because of what you have seen. There ought to be a continuation for you and your family. Amen? That is the blessing. The promise. Our ancestors came off a slave ship with a promise. And in the here and now, there's still a promise. My God, we ought to stand for something. And let's stand for Jesus. Amen? It is so key that Peter didn't waste time. He opened the doors of the church. And he began to say, anybody want to get this? And the Bible says they repented and were baptized 3,000. But there were more folk in the crowd than 3,000. But those who heard the word of God, those who were convicted and converted, heard the word of God. And one day you heard the word of God and it changed your outcome. You heard the word of God and you said, I think I'm going to follow him. Amen. Because the Bible is filled with people who repented. Y'all know David messed up. It's easy to point at him. He looked over when he shouldn't have been looking over. Caught the eye of Bathsheba, and you know the rest of the story. All you soap opera watchers, you know what happened. But blessed be the God today that as a result, God was still able to use him because he repented. Yeah, he messed up, but he repented. Peter, who even shares in this gospel today, denied Jesus Christ 3 times. I don't know him. I'm not sure who he is. But even as a result, God is still able to use you in spite of your mess ups, in spite of your hiccups. Come here, Jonah. Jonah says, I'm not going to do it. I want you to go down and preach to the church at Nineveh. I'm going to take the next ship out the inner harbor. I'm not going that way. And what happens? That God chases him down. A big fish gets him. He's caught. And he goes on anyhow after he repents and he declares the word of God. Amen? Amen. Mary Magdalene, 7 demons. And she had a reputation in the city. But won't God use you in spite of whatever? Oh, blessed be the God today. He will use you in spite of your shortcomings. Come here, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little sticky-handed. He was a tax man who somehow would extort people, but once he met God, something got a hold of him. All of a sudden then, unlike another agency, he was giving folks some returns. I'm not going to call the name because they may come after me, if you know what I mean. And I thank God today for the people of God. Amen. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal the land. My God, we've got to repent today. And as the brothers met on yesterday, the prodigal son came up. Y'all know he was the one who says, I want everything that belongs to me. I'm out of here. See you. Don't want to be you. He gets out there and blows everything he has. Oh, you've been there before. And he realizes he has no friends and nobody who would run with him for a while. He finds himself in a pig pen. Anybody ever been in the pig pen of life? You may have called it something else, but you were in the pig pen. And then the Bible says that he came to himself. Aren't you glad today the Lord allows you to come to yourself? Aren't you glad the Lord allowed you to say, wait a minute, this is not right. And he begins to repent. He says, I'm going to repent to my Father in heaven, and then I'm going to repent to my Father at home. And by the time that boy heads home, he says, I don't want anything special. I've repented. But when the Father saw him, he didn't start talking and arguing and telling him what he had done wrong, but he went to chase him. And I believe today in the words of William Augustus Jones that when that father saw that boy, he saw some of himself in there. He knew that boy had his DNA. And so before you get rid of your children, look at them real closely and realize there's some of you in them. But blessed be the God today that he comes in and Father gives him a ring and throws a big party and kills the fatted calf. And older brother say, well, you never did it for me. Well, my God, he needed to repent because daddy said, you never asked me. Well, I could talk about all of the biblical characters, but can I talk about a guy who's 60 plus, who made some mistakes along the way? By now, you may have caught it. I'm talking about me. Can I testify? I was the sneaky type. Anybody know who the sneaky type is? Well, my God, you look the role and you act the role, but deep down inside you ain't nothing but a rascal. But thank God for Jesus today that when I decided to stop running and playing and get, oh, I know I got a church that's praying today, but I'm glad today that he changed my life. And you know I got to continue to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Anybody sorry today? Anybody sorry today for what you've done? And what you got to do is to turn and go in the other direction. Don't continue to move ahead. Blessed be the God. I was thinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now saved am I. It was love that lifted me. It was love that changed my life. It was love. What did it for you? Was it love? Repentance. Dying to sin. When I begin to look at this week, I say, you can't talk about repentance and not repent. I began to look at the list of things I kind of brushed over. So now, are you serious about this? One evening I back into the garage and I thought about one thing or two. And I said, Lord, I want to make sure on the record that you know I'm sorry. And in that, go in a different direction. Can I tell you when I did that, that God opened up another door of power, that when you repent of that thing, when you are serious about it, then God will open up new things for you. Amen? Whatever happened to you this week, this day, even as you stand, bring to mind that thing that you kind of skirted over. You said, God knows my heart. But Paul says in Romans 6, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Do you continue doing what you know is wrong, hoping you'll get a pass? And once you become aware of what it is, get serious about saying, Lord, I'm turning away from that. That thing that's had a stronghold on me for all these years, and I've just kind of lived with it. Today, you don't have to live with it. Confess it today to the Lord. Folks, I got to know all your business, but the Holy Spirit knows your business, and he reminds us of what we need to do. Aren't you glad that you serve a Savior like that? As we come today, Father, even now, so many things that we have not repented for. They've already come up on our screen. Whereas in the days of old, we could record over something, and you would still know it's there. But today I pray in the name of Jesus that we might delete it and then empty the trash in our lives today so that we're able to serve you, not out of guilt, but out of your spirit today. If there's one today in this place, that's what the Word of God says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. But that is first base. It's living the changed life. It's purposing to live better. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. If you've come today and you don't know him, I say it's an urgent matter. It's not a when I get around to it. But make a decision today that, yes, I want you to change my life. I want to be better. I want to live holy. And once you do, you will see the floodgates open and you'll really feel the power of God operating in your life today. We ask it all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise today. Even as you take your seats for a moment, there's one today who desires to be a part of this fellowship. The doors of harvest are open.